jumping. That's your adjective you choose? Jumping. Out of everything you could think, if you think of jumping, bruh.
Jumping in the driver's seat, dog. There you go. There's your title.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the world's highest jumping podcast. I am your host, Joshua Leatherbarrow, and I have today with me my co-host. That's you, Adam.
Yo. Adam Bergener.
And today, special guest, we have Bryce.
What's up?
Oh, man. Bryce, we've known each other for a hot minute.
Yeah, I'd say at least 10 years or so now.
Dude.
If not more.
We used to live like 2 miles from each other.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, I should have wrote a script for this. I don't know what the fuck to talk about. Oh, swore too early. Today, we're talking about, you guessed it, drifting.
Yep.
Surprise, guys. Bryce, I know you and I could probably start a podcast on just Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's true.
which we're just going to talk about that. Sorry, Adam. So, Bryce, do you think Sephiroth was dignified?
Give me some more context.
When he went crazy, man, do you think he was supposed to? Like,
I feel like he had his reasons, too, that, like, kind of justified it, you know? Because, like, after finding out that he was created, or, like, a test subject or whatever, you know, like, and believes that Genova's his mother, I mean, like, and the planet's his, like, it's like mental trauma for sure. Like,
yeah, but
PTSD.
But, like, Red didn't go crazy. He was kind of, like, made, right?
No.
I mean,
I don't know, like, his entire backstory, but, like, I mean, I got the fucking tattoo. I should, you know.
Jeez. But, all right. Well, we're not here for that.
Okay.
Even though we should talk about this more. Adam, if you haven't played all 20 Final Fantasies before the next episode, I need you to play all of them.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
all of them. Even the online multiplayer ones, you need to beat those too.
I still play 11, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
How old is that?
2002.
Stop.
I'm just saying.
All right, everybody, let's actually talk about drifting now. So, boys, where are you at with your cars?
So I just got my Haul Tech yesterday. I was up at Jared's
gang,
shop.
Gang.
And I'm waiting on my Texas Speed Cam kit, you know, doing oil pump, new valve springs, trunnion upgrade. I just got to wait for them to ship it, really, because supposedly at the time the trunnion upgrade was on back order, but then he said it wasn't. So when he ordered it, it was good. But I talked to him yesterday. I was up at the shop and he's like, they haven't even shipped it yet. So I'm just waiting on them to ship it so I can get my car over there and, you know, start on that. So, but it still runs and drives fine. It just wants some more power, baby. You know,
it was just a 5.3, right?
Yeah, LM7. It was like a 99 Silverado or Sierra, one of the two. I got off a buddy for like $200 and some heads. So
yeah, that's the best. All right, Adam, where are you at?
Well, got my Haul Tech installed and I started it the other day, so runs all right. We gotta work some things out, but should be ready here soon. Car staying the same power, unfortunately, but we'll get there.
How much do you make?
It was 330 before, so the Haul Tech, it should make pretty much the same, but pretty good for 4.8.
Better management?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you on stock ECU before?
Yeah.
Okay, same.
Yeah. It works.
Okay. You got Holly or something?
Oh, absolutely. See, just from going from a stock ECU to the Holly, like the Miata, when I had it, made 444 on a stock ECU, switched the Holly, and it made like 500 something.
Really?
Well, I don't want to talk bad on the tuner, but tuned it into a very good job the first time. Self-tune was 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
My car, I just got it, like, going, I guess running. No supercharger this year, which is probably stupid.
Nah. I mean, if you're going for seat time, I mean, make it more reliable, I mean, can't really complain with that.
It's dumb because I have the whole TorqueStorm supercharger set up. Like, it's ready to go, but it fits so bad.
Yeah.
We might have talked about this already, but it's...
I mean, if you can't, like, service it properly, like, especially, like, at a comp level, like, timely, like, I feel like it would make sense, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta take off 6 things just to replace a belt or whatever, just for example, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, 5-minute call or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, but, like, you shouldn't have belt issues. Like, if you're having belt issues, something.
Well, I was just giving, like, a random example, you know. You have to take something off to get to something else. It doesn't.
Yeah, with the LSA though, to replace the belt on that, you have to take like the whole supercharger bracket apart, and you can't really do that in 5 minutes. Yeah. You're gonna burn yourself. If you lose an inner belt, like an accessory belt, no shot. That's like a 30-minute ordeal.
Yeah, maybe that's why people go turbos instead.
Yeah, but.
They have their disadvantages too.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing there.
Yeah,
everybody's just blowing turbos up and stuff, and that's terrifying to me.
I don't understand it.
Talking about shipping though, something just came to my mind. So it's been a month now since I bought parts from Chelsea Denofa. Okay, I bought 2 lower control arms and 4 tie rod assemblies. It's been a month. Brother was like, yeah, I'll ship it next Monday. Where's my parts, man? Obviously, he watches this. He has to, right? Everybody watches this.
Totally.
He's absolutely. Like our number one fan. But, bro, where's my parts?
I want my stuff.
And like a week and a half ago, he sends me like tracking information. And every day I'm looking at it, it's like, label created. It's like, bro, like, put it in the mail.
It's probably sitting in a box in his garage or something.
I get it. He's a busy dude.
Yeah.
But you can't be too busy for me.
No. Okay? No way.
I'm more important than Chelsea Denofa, so send me my parts.
Yeah.
I'm world... wide renowned or something.
Yeah, dude. Got Pokemon cards on deck too. What's up?
Man. I sold all of them.
Really?
Yeah, I made $1,000 real quick.
Man.
Yeah. That's a lot. Yeah. From like maybe 6 months of collecting.
I should.
Like don't get it twisted. I probably spent 3 or 4 times that just getting them, but dumb hobbies we have.
Yeah.
Guys, I hit record this time.
Hell yeah.
Proud of me?
I started the recording on my end just in case. So right when we start.
Good, because we need like backups on backups.
Yeah. Got the Red Bull, dude. OG flavor. Dude, top tier.
It's the only one that I think that's better is the yellow one.
Yeah, dude. Same. Dude, we're on the same wavelength right now, dude. Mm-hmm. Yellow's the best.
Dude, I don't want to try any of those fancy summer, fall, pastel-colored cans.
I've tried a few. They're all right.
I feel like...
I can't have them anymore. I'm on diet, so...
Yeah, me too, but... I just love Red Bull.
You guys got Starbucks? What is that?
Yo.
No, my local coffee place.
Okay.
I'll drink Starbucks. Place sucks.
Don't start the hate towards Starbucks here, man. What if they want to sponsor us?
Oh, okay, wait.
Oh, my bad. I love Starbucks.
If you had to pick right now on the spot, like, gun to your head, Dunkin' or Starbucks?
Starbucks. Dunkin' is hot trash. So bad. It's always bad.
Hot take. For some people. I like Starbucks, though. So.
I can't answer this. I don't like coffee.
Yeah, no, every time I get Dunkin', it's terrible. Like, it's always bad, so. At least Starbucks is consistent. I mean,
yeah,
it at least tastes all right most of the time. I just, not a big Starbucks person.
See, up here,
it's expensive, too.
Up here, we have Tim Hortons
from the Pacific North.
I like Timmy's.
See,
it ain't bad.
Everybody loves that stuff here. Love that shit.
You might as well be in Canada, so it makes sense.
Bro, I could walk a quarter mile, like, down my road. A pair of binoculars, I could probably see Canada. I'm right on the lake.
Nice. Yeah. Throw rocks at him.
Yeah. Just see me whipping rocks at the water. Cops like, what are you doing? It's like, Canada sucks. Which, we can't be saying that right now, and I want to talk politics, but, like...
Yeah,
we're gonna go to war with Canada, a niceness war.
Give me all your maple syrup. All right, dude, let's get back to drifting.
No.
Why not?
I don't know, because we got an hour to fulfill, and I didn't write any notes. So,
what are we gonna talk about?
Well, first, our gal pal Bryce here.
Mm-hmm.
Is a part of a drift organization, correct? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that real quick?
Sure. So I got Slideway Showdown. We run events at Painesville Speedway. We do some clinics at Lorraine Raceway Park in Amherst, Ohio. Basically, super grassroots. You know, a lot of us started at Painesville, and drifting was kind of dead in northeastern Ohio. So me, Jerry, and some other friends decided, hey, some people can't really get into Erie. I've struggled to get into Erie. Just, like, I'm not going to sit on my phone day of launch tickets, and they sell out in 5 minutes. Like, that's, I can't do that, you know, so it's just, for me, like, that's not for me. Like, I'm not saying that we won't ever sell out, but, you know, just, so we started our own stuff for, you know, bring drifting back to northeastern Ohio, and, you know, we're kind of where a lot of us started, like I said, and, you know, just make it feel like home again, and, you know, try and get some kids, families involved, see what drifting's about, you know. I know, like, Erie's kind of like out in the boonies, you know, Painesville's kind of a relatively big city. Cleveland's nearby. So, you know, we get people bring their kids, you know, just thinking that racing is going on and it's not, it's drifting. And they're like, wow, this is really cool. You know? And then kids want to get in cars and go for ride alongs and, you know, so just bringing the camaraderie back to Ohio for the most part.
I don't want to interrupt you real quick, but anybody looking to go to these events, if you look on screen now, if you're listening or watching, I have the schedule up for you. So April 26th and 27th, June 21st and 22nd, August 2nd and 3rd, October 25th and 26th, and then there are two drift clinics at Lorraine, which you can see it on screen. But why two-day events instead of just like your traditional single-day event?
So last year we had 8 single-day events on the schedule. We canceled one event, which was at Lorraine. It's like a newer track. You know, we had a bunch of asphalt laid out, but, you know, what people mistake is you know, they look on Google Maps, Google Earth or whatever, they see, oh, what's, you know, Lorraine Raceway Park, you know? So they look it up and they're like, oh, wow, like, you can't drift that, but it's kind of deceiving. When you get there, like, yeah, it's a little tight, but tight and technical, short course, you know? I know a lot of people don't like that stuff, but it's very driftable, in my opinion. Tandems, you know, you kind of got to be on your mark. Otherwise, obviously, you go off track. But so we ended up canceling that one. It was, I think it was our 2-day actually that we canceled. So we really ran 7 events, and we just decided that, you know, that many events was kind of too much on the prospect of, like, you know, some people won't make the event and they're like, oh, well, I'll just get the next one next month, or I'll make the one in a couple months from now. And so the 2-day really kind of brings in, like, there's more of a special factor to it, like, well, there's only 4 events, so it makes it kind of more special in some sort of way. So, like, it might mean more to people to make sure that they make that event, especially if they're doing comp or whatever, to, you know, be there for that seat time and stuff. So, plus it's easier on us. So
I definitely agree with that. It's kind of like what's with Club Loose. It's just, yeah, they have 2 events a month, and it's like, I could skip this one. I'll go to the next one. Like, I don't need to beat everyone. And with you having just less events, but, like, more time, it's, like, makes them more special. And
yeah.
It's, like, sure, like, I don't know, more fun.
Yeah.
I personally do hate 2-day events, but I would rather go to, like, a special event than, like, a single day not special event.
Yeah, and like last year, like, it wasn't too bad, and like, nothing against Club Loose 2 or anything, but, like, you know, it kind of sucked that there's like 3 or 4 events that our event landed on the same weekend with their stuff, and, like, you know, they come out with their stuff kind of like last minute, or not last minute, but late, versus, you know, like, we did like Black Friday last year, and then this year we just didn't really rush it. You know, we had Erie's schedule to kind of play off of, and that's when we came up with those dates. But, you know, we kind of took a gamble on Club Loose this year. But since we're only having 4 2-day events, we kind of ended up missing all theirs, so it kind of worked out. But, you know, and it was all right last year because, like, you know, we had our events on Saturdays, and their events are mainly on Sundays, so people would drive with us, and then they go to Club Loose right after. Something wrong with that, but, you know, some people were like, well, I'd rather save my tires for Midvale, which is fine. Better facility, I get it, but, you know, it is what it is.
I don't know if better facility is, like, the right term.
Maybe the track is better than Painesville. It's bigger. Go faster. Some people like that over a figure eight oval.
Yeah, I don't know. They both have their qualities, but Painesville, it's probably a lot easier just to, like, crash into the wall. Yeah. That sounds terrible for anybody who wants to.
Ask me how I know.
Dude, I've crashed there quite a few times. Literally.
My car's crashed there a few times.
Back, like, 9 years ago, I drove headfirst right into one of the walls there.
Oof.
Yeah, it was lovely. No power steering on a Miata. Terrible idea.
Yeah, it'll do it.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
They did, like, that, the really tight, like, 140 turn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from the center, like, to the opposite way on the straight.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have the strength, man, and I just right into the wall. And, like, I drove my car to that event.
Ooh.
And, like,
that's even worse.
Yeah. Thankfully, a buddy there was like, hey, I don't really feel like driving today. I'll take your car home for you. And it was cool because, like, I lived in Cleveland at the time and paid the guy a couple bucks to do it. But
yeah, that was early Drift Cleveland days, right?
Dude. back when Dirk Stratton had his handbrake on the roof of his car.
Yeah, his matte green S13. Dude. That was cool. That was, like, back when, like, all the homies were, like, super new. Well, not new, but, like Theon, dude. Like, I got to give it to Theon. He's progressed so much. I remember I was drifting at one of the events, like, starting out, and I remember when he asked to borrow my helmet so he could go for a ride along because he's never drifted. And then look at him now, like, TIG welding, doing his own fab work, building cool cars, shredding, like, I don't know. He's a cool dude.
I definitely put him in, like, top 10 best drivers in the area, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that man can, he just
he's
does
fast.
It.
He's fast, too.
Yeah, and doesn't even use handbrake that much either, like, if at all. Like, I've talked to him about it a lot. And like, he's like, I don't really want to, but I'm going to put a handbrake in my car. And I'm like, why? Like, you're on doors, no handbrake. That's, I mean, he's got the technique down. No sim, nothing. It's pure hard work, you know?
Yo, he's just born with it.
Yeah,
born to shred.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when I first started drifting, Colt said that to me. He's like, you know, some people are just born with it and some people just got to work a little harder. And like, I was the one that had to work a little harder. And that was honestly my motivation to like keep driving and trying to practice. And if I could go to Painesville and drive, like I scrounged up, you know, used tires and fucking loaded up my dual cam KA and just drove to the event, you know, and tried to drive.
But it, so, did that for years.
Yeah,
it was hard though, because like we had people like Noah who just like went out and first lap is like bank to bank to bank, and it's like,
yeah,
I can't do that. Years. It also didn't help that like you'd show up with these piles of cars, just piles.
All right, so I'll tell you a story about my first drift car, okay? It was a black spray-painted S14. I drove to Jackson, Ohio, which it already started out bad, so I was on my way down there. I blew a tire on my truck, like, 45 minutes from this dude's house, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm stuck here. And he was like, oh, man, I got a tire. I'll come help you swap this tire out or whatever. So we were at, like, a gas station. And this guy, like, shows up with the tire, like he said. And we pulled it off. Some crackhead helped us change the tire in the parking lot with some spoons, too. Funniest thing ever. And then so we get that all done. We start driving the rest of the way to his place. You know, it's dark. You know, you always buy cars in the dark, so you know, you don't check them out really. You know what I mean? So, but I didn't know anything about it. Like, so I went down there with my now brother-in-law, and it's, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, loading this car up, you know. And by the way, future advice to anybody who's starting out drifting, don't take a loan out on your car to buy your first drift car. I took a $2,000 loan out on this car and picked it up, pile of shit, rusty, rockers gone. Like, somebody had over fenders on this car. The rear fenders were just smoked. Yeah. But anyway, so I brought this car home, and it was just bad. So I remember after drifting it a few times to the track, you know, it was whatever. It was learning. And I remember me and Colt and Noah and I think Aaron Ashley went street drifting, and Colt was driving this time because, you know, he helped me work on it a lot and stuff. So we were just kind of like shared it in a sense. And so we went out, it was right by my house, and you remember that church on 303 and 58? They had that like U-turn or whatever. We ripped that and like car just shuts off. And he looks at me, I look at him, and he's like, did you put oil in this thing? And I was like, no, I thought you did. So he starts it up it's just he just starts knocking, dude. So we drove it back to his house, and we were just laughing about it. And then another friend had a KA I bought off of him for like $200-$300, you know, back when you could buy KAs for that cheap, and swapped it and drove it at a couple Painesville events. And then I remember after one Painesville event, it would just randomly start backfiring. Like, you let off the gas, it ran fine, but like you would just like let off the gas and it would just pop like a gunshot. And then I hit one last Painesville event, and the car was so rusty that I was like finally getting it, finally linking the track. I mean, this is of course over the course of probably like maybe a year, 6 months or so. And finally linking the track, I get off track, you know, I'm like pumped up, I'm getting ready. I'm like, yeah, I want to go out and do it again. And then as soon as I pull up in grid, the whole ass end of the car just picks up when I hit the brakes and stop. I'm like, what the fuck is that, dude? So like I pull off, go to my pit, and I'm looking, and like the front half of the subframe ripped out from the car because it was so rusty.
Oh man.
And I was like freaking out, and I had to load it up, and I hung out for the rest of the day because that's what you do. You don't leave like some people, Josh. And,
yeah, Josh.
Sometimes I just want to go home. don't put me on the spot like that. What the heck? This ain't about me. What did I do? Heck.
So after that, you know, I was like, man, like I gotta get rid of this car. Like I got a loan on it. Like idiot, you know. So I ended up like flux core welding it back together somehow, and I traded it for that gray RX-8 I had. Straight up.
Or go
to Indianapolis or wherever it was and traded it.
I actually remember this now. I remember that car.
Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah, then you're trying to drift these rotary cars.
That RX-8 was kind of mid. It definitely had low compression, I think. Wouldn't hot start. So it always, when it was on track, like, or like when I was drifting, like it was always running. I never turned it off unless I was taking like a couple hour break, like for sure. But that was a good car. Like I think Colt drove it. Mike Barbosa drove it.
That's a name I remember.
Yo, he drove it because he was like, oh man, I kind of want to get out of the FC and get into the RX-8 chassis. You know, like let me drive it. I'm like, sure, dude, whatever. Like you're cool, dude. We're both black, whatever. You know. So he drove it. He was like, man, that's cool. And then now, like, he's got like he has problems with it, but he's got a pretty decent setup RX-8. It's purple REW in it and stuff. So, yeah. But that was kind of like my introduction into drifting when I first started, you know, back when things were like simple, you know, go to the dealership and be like, hey, can I steal some of these used tires? And they're just like, yeah, sure, take them. Like, it's less than we got to pay to get rid of them. So, you know, just go to the dealership at night looking real sus and steal like 8 tires out of the used tire rack, you know, throw them in the bed of your truck and go drifting for, you know, back then it was like $40 to drive in Painesville.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a good time.
Do you remember that E30 you had?
Yeah, I blew the diff up street drifting with Noah and them.
Yeah.
At that one church I did. I like spun out and like I was rolling backwards and I just dumped the clutch in first and just blew the diff up.
Yeah, that was me, you, and Noah.
Dude. Yeah, that was a good time.
So why a 350Z?
I had an S13 hatch. I bought it to show off my buddy for like $400. It had a tube front already, and I ended up just I wanted to have another car because I had a E46, worst car I've ever owned in my opinion. And it sucked. Got rid of it. I wanted to drive something else, so. Took me a while, but I got the car, and then I found a built KA on, what's that one? It's not eBay, but it's not Facebook. It's like an app where you could buy and sell stuff. I don't know, but I bought this KA for like $800. It was like refresh, rebuilt, dished pistons, like ARP fucking rods or whatever was in it. I built this thing in my garage and I drove it and came to the realization, you know, like, you know, I wasn't really planning on driving it to Erie because it was like a shell, like no, it was a gutted car. And I was like, I'm not really trying to drive, you know, 2 hours in this thing. So I ended up getting rid of it because I had the PCV routed backwards and I blew the oil filter O-ring out of it and drove because I had like a coolant temp gauge I was testing out and make sure it worked. So I went and cranked a donut on one of the country road intersections and like it felt pretty good. And so I grabbed second and I'm like, oh crap, like this is sick. And like then there's like stuff on my windshield. I'm like, huh, what's that, dude? And I drive home. It's like 5 miles. I was driving home just dumping oil out. I get to my driveway and it's like it's ticking. It's not like knocking, but it's ticking. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I put more oil in it and I'm like trying to see where it comes from. And it was the oil filter O-ring just blew out of it. So and I was like, I don't really trust this thing to be a drift car anymore. So I sold it. And then I bought the 350Z on my birthday that year. And I remember looking at Auto Trader. There was no pictures or anything, but I seen it. It was purple and it was manual. And I was like, I gotta have it. I was like, purple's my favorite color. Like, this is like probably the next best thing out of the box. So I went out and bought it. I didn't really daily it, but I drove it here and there and stuff. It was kind of okay. And that's just kind of where it ended up. So, and then I left it stock for 3 years, I think. And then during COVID, we threw it on the dyno and because I put a Link ECU in it at the time. I was having some CAN bus issues and Jerry was like, oh, let's just put a Link ECU in, it'll fix it. Cause like at the one smash event, I drove it there and like, I was having some like wiring issues where it would have like a random misfire. And like, I was like, all right, well, I drove it home misfiring 2 hours here and there and it was intermittent. So, and I had it parked and then I got a Link ECU, put it in there and drifted that for another year. And then, like I said, COVID, it was during COVID and we threw it on the dyno and made some more hits, find out some issues. And I was like, let's make it shoot flames, dude. So like we're making it shoot flames and whatever. And all right, that's cool. Pulled it off the dyno, hung out the shop for a little bit more and drove home. And I went to get on the on-ramp to get back out to get back home. And like, I just heard like knocking around like 4,000 RPM. I'm like, cool. That's cool. So, I mean, you get that 189,000 miles on a DQ trying to make it shoot flames at, you know, 8,500 RPM on a DE. So, yeah. And then that's just after that, you know, my buddy Nick Iannucci, he was like, at the time, like I was making stuff for him for his RX-8 drift car. And he was like, oh, let's just put an LS in it. So we grabbed an LH6 from an Envoy and I threw some sicky stuff on it, you know, mounts, pan, whatever, and threw that together. It's kind of a hodgepodge, you know. And it was okay. We were tuning it and it decided to blow up too. So I was an idiot when I bought it and had it running. I should have drained the oil immediately and I didn't, and it sludged up. And yeah, so. And then I got that $200 LM7 from a buddy after trading him some heads, and that's about it. You know, the rest is history.
Because LS is the best engine. I'll fight anybody.
True. True.
I just didn't want to pay, like, I don't know, like, and when I was looking, it was like $1,200 for another VQ, and I'm like, no, $800, $1,200. No, why would I do that? Yeah. For stock, same power, no way. And what the upgrades in HR, and you're to spend $1,500 plus on HR? No, no thanks. Yeah. You know, and then because Jerry gave me some like the sticky flywheel and stuff like that he had laying around from his build and stuff. I fixed a couple holes on that and the trans adapter plate, and that was like a good bulk of really the parts with the starter and stuff. So I didn't really have to buy too much extra whenever it was time to finish the swap. So it kind of just worked out.
Yeah, it's kind of nice with a Z because you really don't have to buy a transmission.
I mean, my transmission smoked. My 2.3 is trash. My third gear is not existent if I'm like beating on it. I have to like shift it.
Is it a CD01?
Yeah.
See, my CD09 broke with the car off and not moving.
Did you drop it? What do you do?
Nope. I don't know. See, I bought that S1 sequential shifter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the Big Indian testing it. I was like, yo, this is dope. And I parked the car and Gucci came up and he's like, yo, that shifter's sweet, man. I was like, yeah, you should see it. And I go and I, with the car off, not running, I slap it into third. It's like, shift twice into third. And then I go to start the car and it doesn't shift anymore.
What?
Yeah. I'm assuming I bent like a shift fork somehow, because I got the trans out of the car and like the selector rod to try to move it. I literally took a sledgehammer and was like slamming on it to get it to get out of gear. And
that's messed up.
Yeah, they're great transmissions. I love them.
Yeah.
I think it was the shifter's fault.
Oh, probably. The shifter worked great first through fourth. Fifth and sixth, it could not find it.
Yeah.
Because it uses like a like rotating selector thing to like pick your gears for you. And just wouldn't do it. Like you hit fifth and it just start grinding real bad. So it's a great idea, but a terrible product. Sorry, S1. Not sorry. Your shit sucks.
I don't know, I got a Serial 9 in my car and I love that thing. It's so nice. Real nice and notchy, you know, real stiff. It's not loose, you know.
Man,
we like our stuff tight.
I just wanted to be cool and just fucking sequential shift that stuff, and not like I have trouble like missing gears or whatever. So I wanted to be cool.
Oh, it was for the cool factor?
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
It was $2,000 for it to break my transmission. And then the guy who I sold it to then did like a charge back to get his money back because it also didn't work for him. So
sick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So, Bryce, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but we're going to talk about this.
Okay.
What happened with Team Vacation?
Wow. After I remedied the whole situation, that's cool. It's water under the bridge now, but you know, at the time, it was during COVID. Sometime after COVID, I got COVID, and then like 4 or 5 months afterwards, like I just started feeling really bad. Like I didn't know what it was, like, you know, depression or whatever. It's nothing I ever felt like, and I was really, really down, like for no reason it felt like. So I ended up going to the doctor, getting on some medication and stuff, and you know, I was fighting through that, you know. And anyway, so I was gonna go to SummerMats. Yeah, it was SummerMats 2021 or something like that. I don't remember. Maybe it's 2020. And I didn't end up going. I wanted to go. I was trying really bad to go. And for whatever reason, like at the last minute, you know, my brain was just like, no, we're going to feel like shit. You know, you're going to have crazy amount of anxiety. You know, I was crying for no reason, all this stuff. And, you know, because Jerry was going to, he was going and he was going to take my car too. And like, he was like, come on, let's go. You know, it'll be fine. You'll have a great time, you know, trying to get me to go. And my brain was just like, no. Like we're not leaving the house. And so, you know, I spent that weekend, you know, trying to go for walks to make myself feel better, and like just crying on the couch for no reason. And like, and it wasn't like bad enough to where like, you know, I want to kill myself, but you know, it definitely felt like that, but I could never do that because of the kids, and you know, couldn't do that to my wife or anything. So, but anyway, I was going through that, and then Aaron Lyon messaged me and was like, you know, hey, you know, I hate to do this to you, but like, you know, we got to kick you out of Team Vacation. You know, I know you're really going through some stuff, and we all are, and this is supposed to be like a safe place for everybody, and it's not really feeling like that because you're always so down, and you didn't even ask us how the event went, and this and that, and yada yada, and like, we, it's whatever. Like, I shouldn't have put like my issues on other people, but like, since then, like, I am really open about my mental health and the struggles that I go through, and actually talked to Jeannie Taylor. She runs, well, she's part of Rio Bash, and I make some stuff for them for Rio Bash in September for Jake Rio. You know, he passed away, took his own life I think 2018, I believe, and I just remember like always watching that video, you know, his like a tribute to him and stuff like that. And so I reached out to her and started making, you know, stuff for the event, you know, the past couple of years. And, you know, I'll randomly message her, you know, when I'm feeling some type of way, and we talk, you know, it's kind of really nice. She helps me see different outlooks and, you know, helps me through some things. But with going back to the Team Vacation thing, like I'm okay with them, I guess. Like, I have no hard feelings towards them. Like, it is what it is. You know, I've said things about them on Facebook in the Drift PA Ohio New York group. And, you know, I kind of aired it out. And, you know, I'm sure I had other issues, or they had other issues with me that they didn't feel like discussing, which is whatever. But, I talked to Aaron Lyon since, and, you know, we're cool as far as friends go. And, you know, he wants to come to the events. You know, obviously Ben Bruno, he wasn't a part of it at the time, but, you know, I have no resentments toward him, even though he's on Team Vacation. Like, he's a really good dude, and I brought him on for the comp stuff, you know, and I've grown up, and, you know, I just try not to push my problems on other people, but I'm still very open about, you know, how I'm feeling, you know, whether it's on Facebook or whatever. Like, I don't care, you know, people want to complain and say, you know, this guy's complaining, you know, on Facebook, it's not the place for it. But I like to just share my experiences and like what I'm going through to maybe like get another outlook or like help somebody else, you know, like if they're going through something similar, and share experiences, whether it's like, you know, coping skills or, you know, different medications that work for me, or, you know, things that I'm doing, lifestyle changes, all that stuff, you know, like, as long as it helps somebody else, I don't care if people view it as, you know, I complain too much or whatever, you know. So, but that's kind of where Slideways was born. You know, we wanted to bring drifting back, but it was really a depression project, I call it. And it really motivated me to, you know, get up every day and, you know, think about, you know, the events and, like, people and, you know, because, like, I don't care. Like, at this point, like, I would care if I didn't have a car, but, like, my car didn't run last year or the year before when we first started everything, like, I had so much fun watching people have fun. And like, that's what really made me want to keep going as far as with the events and like working on it, you know, making it like not my project, like, but as a group, you know, with Jerry and Steven and Rob, you know, it's just something about watching people's progression, you know, starting out new, you know, and by the end of maybe not the end of the first day for some people, but the end of the second day, you know, they're shredding, linking the track, you know, like giving advice and like people taking it, you know, and like seeing them apply it and then them coming back around like, oh, I see what you said. It makes sense, you know, blah, blah. And like, that makes me feel good. Like helping people makes me feel good, especially in that aspect, because we all love drifting. We're all there for the same thing, to have fun. And it's just a passion of mine. Like I could care less if I had a car right now, as long as, you know, I get to see other people enjoy it. And just have fun with something that me and some buddies came up with, you know, to just bring it back, you know? So, other than that, I mean, that's about it for the mental health and the team vacation stuff and slideways. You know, that's kind of like where it all came from, you know, it's really depression and mental health. So it's real.
It's big real.
It's big real for sure.
And people aren't open enough about it. People think that, you know, because we're men or whatever, that we don't talk about our problems. We sit down and, you know, suck it up or whatever, you know. It's not really the right answer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. My thing is, you could talk to like your friends about your mental health, and if you don't improve on it, they're going to kind of get annoyed with you. And I know it sounds terrible, but like you keep going to the same people like, hey, I'm sad today. Hey, I'm sad today. Hey, I'm sad today. And like, I feel like you shouldn't be leaning on these people as much. Like you need to go and talk to a professional.
Yeah.
And like, that's a huge thing. Like, find someone whose job it is to, like, help you get through your stuff.
Yeah.
Because, like, me going and talking to Adam about me wanting to hurt myself or something, he's not, like, trained to, like, talk to me about this.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, me talking to him could make it worse. And, like, I'm not saying, not saying anything, like, real right now, but, like, if you feel like you need help, I feel like you need to talk to someone who's trained for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, and there's no shame in asking for the help.
Oh, God,
either.
No. God, no.
You know, and yeah, your friends should be there for you for sure, but like, it's not like it shouldn't be, you shouldn't make your problems their problems.
Yes.
It's not that they won't take it. It's just like, it's not really fair to them, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, if you want to get better, you need to take the steps to get better, even though it is hard. And it is hard, but you know, like, there's therapists, there's psychiatrists, there's psychologists. I mean, all the people there to help, you know, find tools and whatever to help you get through whatever you're going through. And you know, sucks, you know, especially if you don't have insurance or you got a copay and you can't really afford your copay, you know, stuff like that. It really, really brings you down too. And that's a whole nother thing with, you know, our healthcare system, but whatever.
Yeah. But this day and age, there's other ways to get help. Yeah. There's like apps and stuff that you can literally talk to a psychiatrist from your phone.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I'm not gonna, we're not being paid to say this, but BetterHelp's being pushed by a lot of YouTubers and like,
yeah,
it's just help from your phone and making it convenient and easy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know what the price is on it, but it can't be too expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure everything has a payment plan too. So.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can affirm your mental health appointments. You know,
you can affirm almost anything now.
That's true, dude.
Dude, you can affirm your groceries at Walmart.
Bro, I affirm my Sim Magic, dude. You believe that?
Hey, that's legit, though.
I drove on a Logitech for so long, and I was like, man, this thing's annoying. And I drove Jerry's rig, and I'm like, I'm never driving a Logitech again, dude. I affirmed something. I affirmed my shit that night. I was like, I don't care, dude.
Like, affirm for something like that is fine, because you know, it's just sitting in your house. Like, it's never going to get crashed or broken. Like, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
You affirm car parts that you may ruin the next event. That's a touchy one.
Man, I'm about to affirm my tires for the year.
Send it.
You've been paying on that for like 2 years.
I just affirmed my Torxstorm supercharger. It's convenient, dude. Just
it is.
Hit the button. Sure, you can. I think I set it up for like a year and a half to pay it off.
Yeah.
But I paid it off in 4 months, and there's like no penalties to do so.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I mean, it's definitely like a good tool. It's definitely like one of those things where you can get lost in the sauce for sure.
Yeah.
Whether it's computer parts or car parts or whatever. Yeah. I mean, we'll check your score for free. You see how much we can loan you. And it's just that simple. It's just the way the world is these days.
Yo, I got the PayPal credit approval thing in my email like once a week. It's free to sign up. Doesn't impact your credit score. It's like, I'm not doing that, PayPal. Stop.
My shit's maxed out. Car parts, actually.
They make it way too easy to just
spend
too much money.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. Ugh. Well, for starters, I didn't think you were a good fit for Team Vacation.
I mean, they're, like I said,
I'm speaking my mind here. I think the stuff you got going on with Jerry is like far more superior than like Team Vacation would ever bring you to.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say bad things about these people, but like, I feel like Team Vacations, like, where they are right now is where they're going to, like, stay.
Yeah.
Like, fame and, like, just what they're doing. And, like, that's fine with them. Like, they're not here to be somebody.
Yeah.
But, like,
they're just a family, and that's, you know,
yeah,
that's
which
fine.
It's perfectly fine. I'm not saying ill things about you guys, but, like, I feel like you're destined for more and for better things.
And I appreciate that.
Like, you're such a good dude, and, like, they're only holding you down, dude.
Yeah.
I get that it was a while ago, but, like, your better things are coming for you. I know this.
Yeah. And there's just, like I said, there's no bad, hard feelings about it. The situation is what it is, and this... kind of funny that you bring that up, though, as far as like holding me back and like not saying that they were or anything at the time, but like I remember like even talking about wanting to do Final Bout and they didn't have like any interest in it, and I'm like, that's what drifting is for me, like seeing dope cars on dope wheels slammed and just showing out at the track with the homies, like invite only, like exclusive stuff, like just really nice cars, and not like going to Erie or Painesville and seeing a beater E46, you know, like, I mean, like it's each their own, like it's all cool. It's all drifting. But like, for me, like that was like, my goal is I want to get the Final Bout 1 year, and you know, whether it's with Jerry or my own team, you know, like me and Jerry drive really good together, I feel. You know, he's part of the reason why we're most of the reason why I'm at where I'm at today, you know, whether it's, you know, hooking me up with random parts or like just insight, you know, tuning my car or helping me work on my car when he's available, cause he's busy. But, you know, like, you know, I have goals eventually, not whether they're 5 or 10 year goals, you know, like that's my main goal, is I want to do Final Bout 1 year. They weren't about it, and you know, it is what it is. You can't go to Final Bout by yourself, so you gotta have a team. It's a team thing.
Yeah.
So whether I have the car right now for it, probably not, because it's a little rusty, but you know, one day when it's not rusty or got overs on it or whatever, you know, I'll try and go. You know?
Yo, hear me out real quick. Drift the Lexus. Do what you gotta do.
My CT?
Yeah.
What the?
You can be the first, dude.
Dude, what?
If you don't know, it's pretty much a Lexus Prius.
Yes.
It's just so dope.
I probably, it's a good car, but the worst car. Like, I got that car, it had 88,000 miles on it. I had to do a head gasket at 100,000 miles.
That sucks.
Yeah, because the head gaskets are trash on them. So I contacted my buddy John Silkira. He used to work at Lexus as a tech, master tech or whatever.
Love that guy, by the way. Love him to death.
He's having a kid. You believe that?
What?
Yeah.
What?
He told me like a couple weeks ago when I was talking about my car. Like,
bro, I Snapchat him like all the time, and he didn't tell me this. What the?
Yeah.
Adam, that's the. Oh wait, never mind. You weren't with us. That was Austin. Never mind. I forgot I said something. But yeah, love that dude.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Yeah, I mean. I got a lot of good people in my life, and I'm really thankful for them. So I try and thank them as much as I can, you know. And it's hard trying to be there for a lot of them because, you know, I got little kids. I got a house to take care of now. And, you know, my wife works third, and it's not her fault. Or I'm not blaming her or anything, but, you know, it makes it hard to do anything, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. You
know, if I can help on my way home from work for like an hour, like I got you. But like, I can't come over at 8 o'clock at night and help you work on your car till midnight because I got to work the next day and the kids are home. I can't leave the kids home by themselves. So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. I mean, Jackson would probably be fine. So,
how old is he now?
He's 10.
Damn.
Remember when he was like beating stuff up in your Miata in my driveway?
Yeah. Dude, I got a photo somewhere of this kid holding an electric impact that's the same size as him.
Yeah, he's trying to like do something with your lug nuts on the Miata. Just
slamming things into the wheels. It's
oh,
great.
His camera froze.
Wait, who?
Oh. You're getting choppy.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I think it's fixed.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
If we have more problems like we did with Ben's, I'm going to lose it.
That's all right. I've been recording this whole time, if anything ends up missing. So
we did have another topic to talk about, but Adam, we're going to save it.
Okay.
You cool with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good with it.
Cool. Because we've been here for an hour. With no issues.
Nothing wrong with talking for an hour or more. I think, Ben Bruno's was like an hour and a half or something?
Yeah, it was long.
But, hey, if you got other things to do, that's fine, too. So.
We're going to hop into the questions real quick. But before that, the next time you see Bryce here, we're doing it in person at the track.
Yep.
And we're going to shower him with love.
I'm gonna party too, right?
Absolutely.
You're spending the night at the track like the old days, dude.
I don't know if I've ever stayed the night there.
Well, I mean,
I know what you mean, but
like just in general.
Yeah. All right, Adam, you can pull up the questions. There's not many.
Put me on the spot here. Hang on.
I'm not famous, so I'm not Ben Bruno that had 8 questions about hot dogs and how big his wiener is. So.
There is one of those for you, though. Did you read the questions yet?
I'm looking at them right now, yeah. There's only 3.
Yep. I'd like to know Austin's question, too.
Austin Fay, our teammate, says, I'd like to know why Bryce is so handsome. I think it's the beard.
Stop. Blame my mother. My mother's pretty cool, so.
All right, call her up. Call her up.
I can't. I'm using my phone as the camera. Otherwise, I call her.
Wait. She'll be the 4th on the podcast.
Alrighty. Matt Ray Shuck says, how big is the package?
Big enough to get the job done.
Bro, how many kids you got now?
I got 4 kids worth.
Yeah, dude. I actually ran out of ink, man. Like my kids are so white. I got one that's the same complexion as me. You believe that?
Oh shit!
Oh my gosh!
All right. Michael Corelli, he has a good one here. He says, ask Bryce about his fab work. Let's hear how he got started and some of the sick shit he's made. Because I know you made their hood vents. So
yeah, so I'm a tool and die maker. I've been a tool and die maker for since 2012, maybe 2013. So do the math. But anyway, I've been doing that for so long that, you know, my eventual goal for work is like to really have my own shop, and whether it's, you know, feasible or not, you know, making affordable car parts for, you know, people, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's not going to make a bunch of money, because like I sell my stuff pretty cheap, you know, because it doesn't really cost me much to make right now. So, but I made Jerry's transmission bracket for his CD trans on his S15. I actually did his 4-to-5 lug conversion on the R32 he's got now. Made Michael's and Gage's hood vents. I've made my own hood vents. I've made a bunch of stuff for Dave Nashwinter, for his Bronco stuff that he does for work. A lot of stuff, and it's just, I just like doing the stuff. Like, it comes back to like me wanting to help people, and like I'm a people pleaser, unfortunately. So I meet a lot of people from that, you know, make 350Z handbrakes, E46 handbrake plates, S13 handbrake plates, S14 handbrake plates, you know, anything related to drifting, if it's flat or whatever, it's pretty simple to do. I made motor plates for Nick's RX-8 for his LS swap, you know. I just like doing this stuff because, like, it helps people, and it's, I learned something new, you know, something to just have in the back of my head, you know, that, you know, I can utilize one day when I have my own shop and equipment and stuff, you know. So it's just the goal, really.
What kind of equipment do you use to make that stuff?
For a lot of the flat stuff, it's just mainly like the laser machines at our second building where I work at.
Nice.
We have press brakes over there too. So if people need stuff, press brake, hit on the press brake, we can. I'm actually making some 350Z door cards right now. I modeled those up the Friday. I got the bend lines put in there so I can make a left and a right out of aluminum or maybe stainless. I'm not sure yet, but yeah. And then for the more complex stuff, you know, you need like a bridge port, maybe a lathe, depending on, you know, making bushings or whatever. I've made those before too. And then you don't need it, but like a CNC mill definitely helps a lot too, especially like if you get, you know, people wanting multiples of the same thing, you know.
Yeah,
it just makes it a lot faster, speeds it up. So
that's cool. Hell yeah.
But yeah, yeah. All our signed trophies from for Slideways, you know, I drew those up on CAD, had them laser cut. Yeah,
I got mine sitting on my my living room.
No, you should have brought it. Showed us.
I should have.
So, but yeah,
boys, that was fun.
Yeah,
for sure.
Lovely. I talk longer, but I have a car to fix. So
same.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, I guess it's important.
Yeah, you need to come out and drive with us, you know.
Oh, speaking of that,
are you doing the comp?
I don't know. I don't know, maybe. The, am I pointing at the right thing? No.
It's, I don't know what you're pointing at.
It's that. I'm trying to point at the flyer that I put out. It's right there. All the dates, everybody. Make sure you go. If you don't, then I don't love you. So, all right, boys. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody, thank you for watching. We are the Dangerous Nights Drift Crew, and yeah. So,
see ya.
Bye, everyone.